We come to worship you. We come to thank you. We come, Father, to have fellowship with you. We pray, Father, that you take our hearts to yourself, Father, and speak to them, Lord. We're so thankful for the testimony, Lord, about Michael's mother, Lord. Father, we want to thank you from the depths of our hearts, Lord. We also heard the report about Sister Poretta, Lord. And Lord, we want to thank you for that also. We're also hearing some good things from Brother Mariah's father, and we are so thankful about that. Even those other things, Lord, if, Lord, these things that you're doing to us is like this, then even the rest of the things that you placed upon your lap, Lord, we believe, Father, the Lord, there will be some good results come from that, Lord. For Michael's mother, Father, we pray, Father, that you give her a full recovery, Lord. We pray, Father, that, Lord, you give something in our hearts, Father, comfort them, Lord, and we will glorify your name, Lord. Thank you for this far, what you've done, Lord. Thank you for everything, Lord God. Now, tonight we commit the meeting to you now. Pray, Father, that you speak. Take me off these grounds, Lord, and speak. Because, Father, I'm a weak man, Lord, in every way. But, Lord, let every man's word be a lie, but yours be the truth. Father, we commit it to you now. Thank you for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You can get seated. I've been wearing mask. I had a meeting with Amber on Sunday after service. She had a question. I think I mentioned about the seventh dimension, and I think they've been taught in Kenya about the other dimension, the seventh and sixth. I think the fifth, and she wanted to know. And the seventh, the sixth, and the fifth. And she wanted to know, what about the fourth? What is in the fourth and that? And we went there and talked a bit with her. I don't know what happened. I had my jacket because I was feeling like I had cold a bit. And when I got out there, I was really sweating. I don't know what was happening. And from then on, our brothers have been bad. It has been bad. I really wanted to go do something today, like work. But my wife insisted that I rest a bit because I've not rested and I've not slept for those days. So I was actually like, I don't know, so just something moving at the place of work, and everybody noted that. And I was wearing a mask, and I didn't say I was sick or anything, but I'm saying sick, really sick, and even now I have a bad headache. I was feeling like, do I really come? But anyways, I don't know, in the morning I just woke up, I took the children to school, and I cannot focus. When I come here, my head gets like so heavy, and I can't remember it. I read a line, I forget the other one like that. I think I was mixed up so bad. So, but the Lord is good. I slept, and when I sleep, again, I remember this, and it wakes me up. And even when I'm sleeping, I'm dreaming. When nap comes, I'm dreaming about this. So I don't know. I didn't know exactly what was happening. And I said, Lord, do you want me to take a nap? Or what do you want? Do you want me to wake up? Tell me about what you want. And I don't know. But finally, I woke up and I studied just a bit, not very much. So I've not studied. And I'm still very much forgetting. I tell you what, I think it was COVID. I thought it was COVID. My wife was saying maybe it could be flu, it could be flu or something like that. But it was heavy on me, very, very, very heavy on me, very heavy on me. Sometimes my eyes got blurry. I at one time in the place of work, I was feeling like I was not very stable on studying. Like that. It was bad. It was bad, but I'm feeling good now. And for those 3 days, it's been very, very bad. So, the Lord is good in all ways, and we thank Him. Tonight, I want to bring about, and my wife also told me that I should have written the things here on the blackboard, and I forget I should have written in the paper, sweetheart, and should have given to you. But what I'm going to do, I'm gonna write that about the mathematics. I think it's good to write it down, and I think I posted it on the groups, the mathematics. I tried to do that to Kenya in that group, the church, and I tried to do that. And I'm going to throw that into other groups here, like Fellowship and Faith. I'm going to throw it there. Not that I'm a nobody. I'm not trying to do anything, but I'm trying to see for you to see where and what I'm looking at. And my wife said that if I could have written that on the blackboard like I'm used to doing, it could have really helped. And that's true. I agree with that. But sometimes I don't. When I say things, I don't think that I just is casual. It's just something that I know almost everybody knows. So, but it's good. It's good for us. Sometimes it's not that you people don't know, but it reminds us. It reminds us this and that. Maybe you read a quote, now you can connect it like that. And now it makes us grow, and it makes us, like the way you looked at it maybe 10 years ago, it might be different from the way you can look at it today. And I'll tell you this, the first time I heard about the two witnesses, I've never heard about two witnesses preached by nobody, even Brother Holmes. The first person I heard preach about the two witnesses, I didn't get it the way I've seen it now. Like it was the scriptures, I didn't look at it like that. But he threw some quotes there, and left. And I referred to them when I came to this to study this. I referred to them, and they didn't help me. That was Brother Keenan in Kenya, and he just passed it like a casual like that. Just passed. I think Brother Holmes had preached it here, and he was really babbling with it when he came to Kenya. So he just threw some quotes there, and after that I looked at it. And I started studying this now. That's how I started studying this. But it was just there about who are the two witnesses. Not exactly who are the two witnesses. I think that was what he was trying to say. Because I think he left about five quotes or something like that, and like that. But that's where I started studying this. But I would say this. Everything this, when anybody reads this, to me it's new. I've read it. Whenever you read those quotes, Brother Don, like now you're reading about the breach. Brother, I've read, you know how I read, you know how I read the seals. First time I read the seals, you know, I had on one room. That's where, and I had some visitors always. Some sisters were staying in my house on the one room. And I had some three sisters who had run away from their places because of believing this, and they were kind of chased away. So they were living in me. There's no way they could go. I'm the pastor. And now we're in one room. And now I cannot study. I had the small children like that. So I borrowed somebody who had a good house. That brother is now still, he wasn't very good in the message that time. But then now God has helped him. And he's really following up. Whenever we are, even now he could be listening in. His name is called Brother Minor. He had a good house. He was rich. He was wealthy. So they were going out, and I asked him if he can give me his house to stay and study. And brother, I stayed there for about 3 days. And I studied that book from the first page to the last page. And I studied back again. 3 days. I really studied it. And I had a pen and a paper, but I studied it. That's how I came to study the book, the seal book. But whenever those quotes are read, even now, like Brother Donald was coming with them, they are blessing. They are always a blessing. And that was not the last time I've read them again. I've read that book again, maybe about four. In Kenya, it was known that we used to carry books with our bags. And they used to say, in that bag, they used to say from the pulpit, every minister knew, from that bag, you not miss a church age in Brother Gomba's bag. You cannot miss a church age book, a seal book, and a marriage invoice book. They need those three books are there. And they used to say everywhere like that. So I studied that book again and very many times because that was very good. That was a book that had new things and like that, and I really wanted to understand those things. my point is, whenever they are read, anytime they are read, anytime you mention this, and I hear this is the is sometimes, and you can say something sometimes, that and I've seen with a lot of brothers and sisters, you can say something, and that does not exactly, even if maybe it's not a quote, but you're saying it. If it's not dovetailing, something in you refuses. I don't know what it is, but it refuses. You feel like, I don't have a reason to say no, but it's not clicking. It's not getting me there. I'm feeling like it is not it, but I don't know even why. You don't even talk because you don't have evidence that it is not right. So you just keep quiet, but there it has refused to go there. You are refusing it. You don't know why. But later on, when you go to read, you find that there was something wrong with it. It's not exactly according to. We have something. The bride has something. The children of God have something. You cannot just throw them in the way you want. Somehow God controls it, and they feel like this is right. This is like that. God has it in us, and that's all we depend on. I was telling Sister Esther on Sunday that I can. I had my sermon on the three. Groups of Jews. My brother, let me tell you the truth. I was crying. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know how to bring it. I didn't know how to explain it. And I feel like I'm blank. That was Sunday morning. In fact, there. And I don't know why I told sister. I don't say those things. I don't know why I told sister. So we're just fellowshipping in the car. And she asked, do you study so much? I said, I don't even study so much. I said, I don't know. Like this, today, I didn't have nothing. I didn't know. I had the quotes. And I'd compare them. But I didn't know, and you know I'm not a good reader. Although tonight I'm going to read. I'm just going to not preach, I'm just going to read. Because these things have you've gone through, I'm just going to read. Except for the rapture. The rapture, the part of the rapture is what we remained. So I stayed there, and I told God, what do I do now? Where do I start? Which group do I start with? And even if I start with that group, where do I go? I mean, I was completely blank. Brother, I'm telling you, I'm blank. And I say, something just come and told me, start here. I told Sitas like that. Sitas asked me, does he talk to you like a voice, like I'm talking to you? I said, I don't know, because he's not a voice. He's not a voice. You can't say he's a voice. But it's something like that, and you feel it. It's calm. It's calm, brother. It's calm. It's calm. And instead of being like, good, like that, it makes you cry. You're still crying. I was crying in the back. God, thank you, Lord. I've got it. Before I came here, I had gotten it. And it was so clear now. I'm coming with it now because the Lord has given me. I had the quotes, but I didn't have it. You understand? I didn't have the sermon. I have the quotes, but I didn't have the sermon. God gave it to me, and I was like, oh, Lord, crying and saying thank you. I remember doing the same before I came from Kenya. I didn't know how to bring something in Kenya. The last sermon that I preached when I was coming with Amber and them. And I didn't know what to do. And I told the Lord, why don't you get somebody else there to preach? Because I'm feeling like I don't know. I don't know what to take there before the people. And you know, very many people are gathered. and then all of a sudden something like that come. And I came, I didn't, and the problem with that time when it came, I think it just came when I was walking out. I don't know what I'm going to say. Just came when I was walking out of that door. And I just came with tears now. Because it's calm. It's calm. I got it now. When I'm on the pulpit, it's calm now. And I feel so good. I don't need to say those things. I don't need to say those things. It's every way that everybody, God deals with them. And sometimes it's different with you. Sometimes it's different with me. But let me tell you something, brothers. You know why I hate this place? Because I cannot do it. If he doesn't do those things, I can't do it. I can't do it. That's why I don't like this. I know myself. I can't do it. I can't do it. But if he doesn't speak, I know I can't bring nothing. And therefore, I depend on him on those things. And the Lord has been very gracious, and he's been helping us this way and that way. Now, I'm going to read the quotes today. It's just about the killing. I've just rearranged. It's just the same quotes that I preached with. He's good. He's good. I wish that one time we can take a day because of the good things that he does to us and just worship him. Just worship him. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, but this is very important. We need to take it to the heart of the people. We need to bring the word like that. But brother, even alone, it's good to worship him. It's just good to worship him. Tell him you're good and how great he is. Because he's surely great. And he's, I don't know what we would, I don't know where we would be without him, without this. I don't know. And if he could give us this, if he could give us this, and I know you cannot get it anywhere else. You cannot. Cannot get it anywhere else unless he gives it to you. If you see it, is the Lord revealing it to you? Is the God giving it to you? If you can give us this, it's just like when he died on the cross. Nobody could have died. Nobody could have paid that. Nobody could have paid that. There was no, there was none that is worth. If you could do that, you could do those things that we could, we can do. What about other simple things that maybe even a brother can help with? What about those simple things that really troubles you? What about the healing of the body? How much more if we trust in him and call upon his name, but he's going to take good care of things. Let your heart not be troubled. That is what he said. Let your heart not be troubled. Trust in me. If you can only trust in him, and don't take him as a liar. He's not a liar. Take him at his word. Take him at his word. He's more than able. He's willing to do it. That's why he promised it. If he didn't want you to have it, you didn't know it, that even it existed. Whatever promise, you didn't know that even it existed. But he came up with it. He promised it to you. Why? Why can't he just leave it? I don't know it. Why can't he just leave it and don't talk to me about it? Now he comes and promises. Why can't he then fulfill? There's nothing preventing him from fulfilling it. He's going to fulfill it. It's you who is not in line that the fulfillment comes by. There's a line that the fulfillment comes by. He said, ask. Not a joke, just ask. And it'll be given to you. If we can only trust in him, if we can only trust in him and be with him, be there with him, be there in him and look up at him, he is God. He's going to fulfill whatever he promised. That's not part of my sermon. Let's come here. Now, we found out, because I don't want to be wrong here, we found out who the two witnesses are. We found out who the two witnesses are. And found out that the two witnesses is the Old and New Testament. That one is completely established. Now, I think last time when I was bringing about the indictment, I was bringing about how they indicted, how the prophet was saying that they have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ the second time. Like that, and that's good. But today, instead of that, I thought I would come with this idea. That's true, he indicted them because they had crucified him. But now, I think the idea that I thought would help a bit, that I think would help a bit is, then how can the two witnesses be killed? If what we realized it was, that is what it is, then how can it be killed? How can you kill the Old and New Testament? How can you kill it? That is the idea that I thought maybe we can look at tonight. The killing of it and then the rapture. Okay, now how can you kill? How can you kill the Old and New Testament? And the quotes are directed to that direction. How can you kill the two witnesses? How can you kill the Old and New Testament, after it is revealed in the voice, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall sound or something like that, then the mystery of the book will be revealed. Right? Now, it is after it is revealed, that is the two witnesses. I said that is the two witnesses, after it is revealed by William Marion Branham, by the seventh angel, that is the two witnesses. Now, how can you kill that? How can you kill that? Let's read here. And maybe the prophet is going to explain them. We'll see as we go. There's only one way provided by God for anything. paragraph 54. But watch the word. Watch what the word of the Lord now. I think you have the quotes, okay? You have the quotes, okay. Watch the word now. God has got a way of doing things, and we must do it in the way that he wants it done. If it isn't, then it is not effective. Jesus found something like it when he came here, when he came in his day. He said, you by your traditions has made the word of God of none effect. That's how you kill it. You make it of none effect. That's how you kill it. You make it of none effect by your traditions, by injecting something there, by bringing something that is not according to him, something that is not according to the word. Your idea, making a tradition, making a denomination out of it. That's how you kill it. That's how it was killed. Now, the word of God of none effect by your tradition. See, they had hybrid injected into God's commandments, their own traditions, which made the commandments of God of no effect. Now, today I know it's become the same thing. That's what he was saying, that they were doing the same thing. They were making the word of none effect. They were making tradition. They were injecting their own ideas into it. They were saying things that were not according to the word by that killing it.
Right.
All right, now. And these people, okay, the indictment again. And these people keep the congregation away from God. And if there's anything happens and it's spoke of in the congregation, they condemn it from the platform, from the pulpit, and says it's fanaticism. Stay away from it. They tell people to stay away. In doing so, they crucify Jesus Christ. Not during Paul's time. Look here. Not during Paul's time. Not any other time. Not any other time in 1963, when the six seals were revealed. I'm going to read the quote there. When the six seals were revealed, the sixth seal revealed the Old and New Testament. That's what he did. It revealed that. When it was revealed now, it is ready to be crucified. That's exactly right. Now, they crucified it 1963 after. He's going to say here, he could not have even done it 10 years before. He's going to say that. I have a quote here, I think, saying that. They could not have done it then, 10 years ago. No, this was timely. This was the right time for them to do. And I saw the prophet about three sermons before, saying, and I have a sermon. I think it's about 2 or 3 weeks before. I have a sermon. I want to indict these denominations for crucifying. Praise be to God. And he was not saying that about those things before 1963. But when the seals were revealed, the six seals were revealed, the light was standing before them, vindicated and everything. And they fought against it. Where? He says, there. He says, where? In the holiest place, Jerusalem. Who? The greatest man here on earth. The Word. That's what they do. Praise be to God. They have done, he says, they have done it again now.
Amen.
1963, they have done it again now. That's how the two witnesses were killed. The two witnesses is that when it's revealed. When it was revealed, God indicted them by the mouth of the prophet. You've done it. God said, you've done it. Just like Paul of Peter. You know Peter? He said, with that hurts, you took the Prince of Heaven and you crucified him. He indicted them. Now they're here indicted again because they have done the same thing. That's exactly the same. That's exactly so, brothers and sisters. That's what he was doing. He was indicting them. He was telling them they have killed him. By what? By making it of none effect. They stand in the pulpits. And now another thing that I found is, I put the quote there, I think, is they laid in the streets. They say Jerusalem, they read in the streets, called Egypt and called Sodom. I have my own idea. I'm not going to bring it here. I realize very many people are listening in. Of course, and by the way, I wanted to say I'm sorry because something I said and I put it in the groups. I'm very, very sorry about that. Because it is Benoni. It's Benoni. It's not Benjamin. She called Benoni. She actually cried like that, Benoni, like that. And he was supposed to be called Benoni. But the father called him Ben. Actually, in Hebrew, it's Ben-Yemen. It's Ben-Yemen. It's Benjamin. Ben-Yemen. He called him like that. And I apologize in the groups because I misread that like a bit. And I realized very many people, it's not anybody who told me that. It's actually the Lord again.
was just lying on the bed like that. And I was just about to go to sleep and everything. It was a bit late. And somebody told me, something came in. And I had no idea that I'd said anything wrong. Somebody came on me and said, okay, had you checked that? I said, I don't know. Maybe a long time ago I checked it. I don't know. I had it. So and then I look at it and it was. And I go, okay, this is it. And I went, where did I get it from? And I found out that it is accurate. Through I have found it that what she said was accurate like that. It was accurate calling it like that because she died. It was it was pain. It's something in pain that you cry in pain, something like that. But it's Benoni. But the father called him Benjamin. So like that. But now this is it. I have another quote there. That says, they laid in the street of Egypt and Sodom. But my idea is, this is my, don't take it because it's not the prophet. If you look at Sodom, brothers, that's where death came to the people. They were branded and died. Just before the Zadipool. Look at that. Just before the Zadipool. And these people, remember, they are killing it just before the Zadipool. Look at that. They raid the streets called Sodom and Egypt. Why is Jerusalem called Sodom and Egypt? It's the same. Where they are killing him, just before the Zadipool. And the prophet says, I have a quote on this. But the Moses is Zadipool. You can Google, you can search with that. Moses is Zadipool. Moses is Zadipool was kind of the token, just before the token. Actually, the token. Now, remember, it was the token. It was the dead. It was actually preaching to the dead. It's preaching to the souls in prison. And immediately death came. That was the token. Whoever had not the token, they died. Now the token, the blood being on the blood, that was Moses' token. And you can Google that, Moses' token. I think the book, the token of 1964, I think one of them is 1964, I think. Two of them are 1964, one in 1963. One of them of 1964, like that. That's right. So that's my idea of, so why does the prophet say, why does the Bible say, they were killed and laid, and their bodies laid in Sodom and Egypt, where Jesus Christ was crucified. And the prophet comes here, he says, that was Jerusalem. That's where they were killed. They were killed in Jerusalem. And here he comes and says, Jerusalem, where? The holiest place. The holiest place where all the people come together, where people come to be saved, where people expect the truth to be told. That's where it is crushed. That's where it's being pierced. That's where they are killing it from their pulpits. Another quote that's down there, he says, those mugs, he doesn't call them, they are mugs. That's where they laid. It's laid there. Another quote here, down there, he says, How is it dead? He says, it is not quickened, it's dead. The word, if it does not have the quickening power, if it doesn't have the Spirit of God, it's dead. It's laying there before them, before the churches. All those things that they teach in those churches, they are completely as dead can be. They have the Bible, they might have the quotes, they might have, but they are, brother, they are mugs. It's very hard to say that, especially to our brothers, the churches of the message that they have. But if it's not quickened, it's dead, and dead can be. It's a mug. It's not me who said it. There's a quote there. They laid in Jerusalem. That's what it says. They laid in Jerusalem. Their bodies laid in Jerusalem. Those two witnesses laid in Jerusalem. All the New Testament laid in Jerusalem. Laid there. Where? The holiest place. They killed them there and laid there. All right. Praise be to God. Now, where are we? Okay, guilty as those guys, okay. And upon these grounds, upon the grounds of crucifying Jesus Christ, upon the grounds of taking the word and taking it away from the people, is exactly what they were doing there. That's that. Now, paragraph, I won't go down there. I won't jump. I can read this. I can read that Revelation 11, 7 to 8. Can you see that on your screen? Revelation 11, 11. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast, who kills them? Who is the beast? Always denominationalism. The beast is the Catholic Church. Remember that the beast is the Catholic Church. It's denominationalism. It's denominationalism. It's Nicolaitanism. It's what takes the word away. That is what is pierced with ideas and denominationalism. That's what kills it. Out of the bottomless pit. What is the bottomless pit? You come from the bottom. I said from the bottom. What is the bottomless pit? It doesn't have an head. It doesn't have a basis. He says his idea, this beast's idea of doctrine does not have a basis. You cannot place it anywhere. It's bottomless. It's baseless. Baseless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them. It looks like the brother. They're indicted. It looks like Jesus Christ was, when he was crucified, it looks like he was overcome. It looks as if he was defeated. He died. Oh, Father, how the... He looks miserable. And this too looks very miserable. But a short while, here he comes. Here Jesus comes, and they join him in the churches. Today, the message of the hour is more right than anything else. But one group is still dead to the other people. To the whole world is dead completely. But there's a group called the Bride of the Lord Jesus Christ that are alive, studying. All right, okay. Shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. That's how they are killed. By those ministers, by those churches, so-called message believer churches, they are killing them. I'm bringing it closer now because he talks about Methodist, Baptist, and so, but this other church is also doing the same. They are killing this message now. They're doing that. Taking the message and making it of none effect. But that was that time. And they were called Pentecostals, Presbyterian. That's what they were doing. That's what they were killing. They were killing the two witnesses. Now, look at them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city. It's called the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom. Sodom, that's where they were blinded and killed. They were killed there. That's where the death come. In Egypt, where also our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. The prophet says that is Jerusalem. That's where Jesus Christ was crucified. Okay, my comments. Kill them, and their bodies are in Jerusalem. The holy place, the church's pulpit, is now the church's pulpit. Now, let me say this. The prophet says this. I don't think I'm going to read the whole of this. That red part, I'm just going to read that whole red part. But unless the spirit is in there, why is that dead? Why is it called a dead body? That word, if it doesn't have the Holy Ghost, if it's not quickened, it's not revealed, it's just there. That's why it kills. The letter killeth. That's why it kills. It's dead by itself. It's a mock. Praise be to God. But unless the spirit is in there, to quicken that body is a book called Trial, paragraph 86. To quicken the body is dead. And so is the word dead unless the Holy Spirit quickens that word. I'm just going to leave it there. Now, let's come here. They are crucifying the effects of the gospel. That's what they're doing. They are crucifying the effects of the gospel upon the people. By their creeds, that's what they're doing. That's how they're killing it. That's the crucifixion. That's how they're crucifying it. That's where the public sat in these big mugs. You see, he calls them mugs. That's where they lay, dead body. That's where they lay. Why are they mugs? It's death. It's death there. There's nothing there. There's no life at all. It's death. Mugs. Called churches. He says, denominations. And draw a line, creed. And that the word of God can't have an effect upon the people. Because they condemn the very things that Christ said would take place. It just don't come according to the creed. He says like that. That's in the book called Indictment. My comments. All this could not have happened before he took the book. Before the book of redemption was revealed. Old the New Testament. Just before the Vadipul. Or the seventh seal, which is the coming of the Lord. Or atonement to the Jews. Who refused 2,000 years ago. Now they have come. Now they accepted it. This time when it comes. Accepting the atonement. I hope you can see that. It could not be done. Now look here, look here. Now they're up there. He said 1963. He's condemning them, or he's indicting them. 1963. Not the time of not in the time of Paul. Not in times of Martin Luther. Not the law that it was not, and it could not have been done that time. He could not have indicted them. They could not have crucified at that time. That time it had not come to a place where it is standing there before them. The two men called Moses and Elijah were not standing there yet. They came to stand there as all the New Testament there when the prophet revealed. All right. Paragraph 71. Indictment. It could not be done a few years ago. He says, I say 50 years ago. It could not be done. But today, this is very timely. And it could not, he says again, and it could not have been done maybe 10 years ago. That is 1963. So we are talking about 1953. 1953, the prophet was still preaching. I think there are very many messages. The first message, I think, was preached in 1947. That is on record. I think there are so many others that were not recorded. But the first that was put on record in the table, it is 1947. 1953, he was still preaching. And he could not, he could not have indicted them. They had not crucified it. He says, and it could not have been done maybe 10 years ago, but it can be done today because the time is run out. We are at the end time. And I believe as his servant, that we are just about to cross from this land to another. Do you know we crossed? We exactly did that. And he drew a line. The next 2 weeks, this was July 7th. The next 2 weeks, July 28th, he said, I drew a line now. And I could have maybe read a quote. I was wondering where I was really, my mind was taking me there to that point. But I could have brought that quote maybe. He says, I draw a line now. The first pool was there. It was identified. The second pool was identified. He says that in another quote. Now, this is the end. He says, look back there. It is exactly 2 o'clock. Just like that, 2 o'clock. And in that quote, Brother Michael likes to tell you that. I don't know what he sees. Because he says, it is exactly 2 o'clock. He says, because I'm spiritual, I see spiritual things. I don't know what he saw. I don't know. Because he says, I see spiritual things. And he says, this is the end. That is exactly 2 o'clock. This is the end of the second pool. Now, this is the beginning. 2 weeks after this is the beginning of the third pool. And of course, when he goes back there, like sometime in January, he says, January 1964, I think January around that, he says, and you know, the seventh seal is not revealed. And whenever he says that, just know, it's not revealed, because it's not revealed, and it will never be revealed to the public. Right. It is for one group of people. That's why it's called the third pool. It's only for one group of people. He's not dealing with nobody else now. He's dealing with his people. His children, nobody else. The world, he doesn't need to. You know, in the church ages, he was talking to both. If you claim that you are a church member, you want God, he talks to you. He talks to you both. He talked to both, good and bad. He talked to both. To both vines. This is the vine, what? The tear and vine. He talked to both. Now he's not talking to nobody. He's talking only to his children. Nobody else. Nobody else will hear this. Nobody else will understand what the seventh seal is. And I tell you again, the seventh seal. And this is equal. Seventh seal. The third pool. The sword that was given. The tenth vision. That's the same. That's one and the same thing. He's talking about his coming. The seventh seal is his coming. He came. Interestingly, I don't know whether I put it here. I don't think I put it here. But he says, you know what? In the church, there are some people who come to bid, to make a bid for making tapes. Because the prophet, you know, the prophet wanted the best on those tapes, the best of the tape that these manufacturers are manufacturing the best tape. This should be put in the best tape. That's what he was very keen on that. and our people were bidding to come and make those tapes. And he was saying he was not even there. You know, some people wanted to go through him or something like that because they knew him or something. I don't know. But he was saying, I don't even know who does that. I'm not even there. The trustees have that, and I'm not even interested. I'm so much on this that I don't even have time to dedicate babies. I don't even have time to baptize other people. Baptize. I don't have time for that. He said, I don't have time. My eyes are focused on this message of this time. It's called the daddy pool. He says like that. It's called the daddy. That's all he was in. And that's the message that if you're not in it, God is not talking to you. God is not. He's nowhere else. That's the message of this hour. The daddy pool. He's not anywhere else. He's not here, there. That's why, brother, Ruth was told. It's because people think you can be here. No. It's a particular place. Ruth was told, go. Look at where he sleeps. Mark it down. You know when they mark it like that. Like they want to demolish something. They mark it. Mark it. Mark it down. He sleeps here. Mark it down. That's the spot. He cannot be there, here, or there. Mark it down. That's it. Mark this down. This is a message. It's called the daddy pool. It's called the seventh seal. It's revealed. And it was revealed when he came down here on earth. He came. The purpose of his coming was to get a bride, and he got a bride. He's not dealing with nothing else. He got what he wanted. He's here. That's the message. And the bride is talking to the bridegroom. And you're caught up with that. All right. So, where am I? The time has run out. We are there, time. And I believe, as his servants, that we are just about to cross. Okay, we are just about to cross this thread. The book called Invisible Union. The book called. No, you cannot put everything here. But the book called The Invisible Union. He said, now you can ask me, almost 2 hours, and you have said nothing about Thanksgiving, because that was Thanksgiving Day. Now, 2 hours, and you, what have you talked about Thanksgiving? He said, I can't be thankful enough. He says, he's a new lad. He's a new place. Those, our fathers were thankful that they had found a new lad where they could come and worship the true God. No, we cannot be thankful that we have found a new lad. That's why he said we are just about close to that lad. On 20th, he said, that line is drawn. We've crossed now. We are on this other side. We are in the third pool. He's now joining the bride and the bridegroom are joining together. Now, let me read the sixth seal there down. This is just to show you that... The six seals were opening the book. Okay, now, compare scriptures of this great event that will... Now, that is the sixth seal. I'm going to just read the red part. I'm finishing here tonight about... I think if you have any question that you don't need to clarify, I can do that. But tonight, I'm hoping that I'm going to clear this and we can go to something else. I think I'll do it. I'm not like Brother Don and the rest of them. They can really come with something very many times. I'm not like that. I just like coming, hitting and moving like that. That's the way I come, and that's why I'm not a great minister like the rest of them. They can come and follow an idea, and you're seeing them. They're still going, and it's going good. I'm not like that, brothers. And compare scriptures of this great event that we will see. That the great secret, a mystery that was under the sixth seal of the book, a mystery that was under the sixth seal of the book of redemption. Now, remember, these are hidden mysteries. And the six seals, now look bigger. And the six seals all together is one great big book. He's not talking about the seventh, he's talking about the six seals. I decided to put it here because I've said it several times. And the way the people are talking, I feel like they are kind of not getting it exactly, that it was the six seals, not the seven seals. And if that brother is listening in, God bless you, brother. I don't know whether you're listening in about, and I told him, I'm not sure. I've not looked at it. He's just asking me, which was first? The opening of the book of the taking of the book of the rapture. And he says, according to him, he thinks that it's the rapture which took place before it was revealed. I said, I've never looked at it. And I'm very honest. I've never looked at it. I don't know. I've never thought about it. He said, that's a good question. So brother, forgive me. I've not looked at it. I'm not going to say which days. But people are listening in, and they, sometimes they ask questions. So I want to be very clear that what I've been saying is the sixth seal. It's when it's the sixth seal that opens the book of redemption. It's not the seven. It's the sixth seal that opens the book of redemption. The book of redemption is the Bible. You read it very well. The book of redemption is the Bible. Praise be to God. It's the sixth seal that opens it. The next is him coming down. The seventh is him coming down to get the bride. But he has redeemed with this. He tells you how he redeemed her. What is the seal? What is the first seal? It's how he redeemed Paul and the rest of them. All that. What is the seventh seal? It's how he has been dealing with the Jews. What is the fifth seal? It's how he's been dealing with the Jews. And that's all the people that are there in the world. That's Japheth, Ham, and Shem's children. How he died for them and he came back here and got what he wanted. What he's been interceding for. It's done. Seventh is to get it. Seventh is claim it. Come. It's your mind now. Praise be to God. And the sixth is, all together is one great big book. Just six scrolls rolled together. And it unwinds the whole book of redemption. Six, not seven. But I tell you what. But can I tell you something? That could not happen until he came and took the book. He took it and opened it. Remember, he's the one who is opening it. All right, now. And why is the whole book of redemption? That's how the whole earth was redeemed. That was how everything was redeemed. That's the reason John wept, because if no one could get that book, all the creation, everything was gone, she would just simply turn back to the atoms and molecules and so forth. You're not going to do that. I'm hurrying up, I think. because I won't need it to finish tonight. But I think I'm not leaving anything. I'm not leaving anything. Eh? I hope I'm not leaving anything. Anybody, just write it down. We can discuss it. And you don't even need to come to my place. You can just write me, and we can discuss it. We can just discuss it on the text, and you can talk. We can talk on phone, anything. We can talk, brother. But don't let it go. Please don't. If you don't understand it, don't let it go. Because you don't know how I start and how I see it. I want you to see. I'm not a great teacher. But I want you to see where I stand. Just in case I'm wrong, you can come and say, Brother Gumba, this is where I think. You say this and the prophecy is like that. Then we can talk. It's right. Like brothers, that does not mean we are. Brother, let me say this. Don't fear. Don't fear not seeing one eye to eye with a brother. There's nothing wrong with that. That shows honesty. And I hate something. There's something, Brother Michael, I hate so much. I hate this thing that's called psychophancy. I call it psychophancy. Just following you, because. I don't like, this word does not have a room for that. This word does not have a room for that. The only one that you're supposed to be psychophantic to is this word. Whatever it says, I'll follow it. Whatever it does, I don't care. I'm going to follow it. I'm not going to even, do you know I don't even check with the the other day, I thought I would have a something with the media in Kenya. But I got so busy, I didn't go. Because of some things in the message that people have been suffering there, and I wanted to do that, and then the timing and things like that didn't happen. And do you know, I remember something, that the only thing that I talk about is the prophet. I don't even check him with the Bible. I realized that. Those things he says, I don't even check whether it's true or not from the Bible. I don't care. I'm so much so to it that I don't care. Do you know something else? I don't think the Bible can help you like this. There are things in the Bible that you don't know unless he talks. Who can tell you what the two witnesses are but him? Who can tell you? Talk to them. Give them to you. They don't know. They don't know nothing. The greatest theologians don't know nothing. I've looked at them from the internet. They don't know nothing. I've looked at them, discussed. They don't know nothing, but they don't know nothing. The only people who try, and you see, when they start explaining, you see they've been here. They've been in this message. You see, they have been in the message. That's how they are able to explain. Praise be to God. I'm so to this. I don't take it. This is the truth by itself. This is the truth by itself. It stands there as the truth. Nothing more true than this. About the rapture of the two witnesses, I hope now how it was killed, you understand. Now, let's come to the two, and the scene is going to change a bit. The scene is going to change a bit when it comes to the rapture of the two witnesses. Because we are saying it's a book. It's a book. It's the Old and New Testament. When it's revealed. Now, that revelation, I said the other day, and I'll do something here, and I'm going to do it again. I don't have a chalk here, but that's okay. That's okay. No problem, brother. I don't... No problem. I said, in Paul's time, what Paul was preaching, no problem, brother. Don't worry. Just, it's okay. We will. I didn't mean to bother you so much, brother. All right. Don't worry, brother. Don't worry, brother. Don't worry. That's good enough. I'm gonna explain it. You get it. The only way that Paul's people can accept what Paul was saying was because what Paul was saying was put in their hearts. As I said, that's the only way they can accept that. That's the only way. That group, and I said the other time when I do that, I said all those people of Paul, whether they die or not, because some of them live for a very long time, like Sister Annes. You know, about 2 years, 3 years ago, maybe 2 years ago, I found Sister Annes studying the question and answers book and handwriting like that. So somebody can stay for a long time. And he passes the time when his age was. So I don't know, but that can happen. But what happens, a seal opens from heaven. When a seal opens from heaven, it drops here to a man. That man is called the messenger of the age. When that messenger of the age comes here on earth, he's given some people here on earth that are predestinated, and that seed, what has been given, that seed which has been given to him, is put in people's hearts. Can you get that very clearly? So that when he speaks what is in your heart. And you are called by that to believe this. And you become that. You and that prophet becomes that. And you're sealed. The prophet says, a seal signifies a complete work. He says, that work is complete. He says, that work means it's not going to be opened until it's gone to the destination. And another thing is what it says is mine. These are mine. It's complete and it's going to heaven. Go in the sixth dimension and wait there. And when the prophet went there, they said, we were waiting for that. We are waiting for you. We are waiting for him. Praise be to God. So nobody else except those that those seeds were put in them. So those people and this are the same. Now listen. So it's the two witnesses. In the two witnesses are only for Israel. They are Israelites. 12,000. 12,000 for each tribe. That what these two witnesses have, they also have in their hearts. And they are sealed. There's no way to believe that. They can only believe that. Praise be to God. So they get it, and they are there. Now, by that tells you, this is the owner of this book, He's coming. That's the atonement. That tells them about the atonement, about their prophet, and exactly what happened. And now that which you refused is coming. Because it promises that you'll come the second time. I hope you get that. Now, when that happens, those people are the people that are raptured. Now, the next question is, what is the rapture? They are raptured. Those people, the 124,000, 144,000, are raptured. They are the ones who are preached to, and they become the two witnesses. Praise be to God. They become that. They become the Old and New Testament revealed. You are the message of this hour. You and him are one. Amen. Praise be to God. So they become that. And by becoming that, that makes them able to be caught away. What is rapture? That's another question. Because people think when he says they are raptured, they're going to just fly away. That's a very wrong idea that makes people stay here and not understand exactly what happens. Now listen, rapture, we don't even have the word rapture in the Bible. That's what the prophet said. He says, what is rapture? The prophet says, rapture is a revelation. Amen. Can you get that? A revelation on what? Why did it come 2,000 years ago? Why did it come before? How did it come? It's a revelation of the fullness of the word. Praise be God. So what happens to me when I'm raptured? I'm not raptured. That word is not even there. I'm caught up. Is it caught up? I'm caught up with it. Amen. It gets a hold of me. I become a prisoner of that. It's revealed. That revelation comes and I'm revealed. I'm there. I'm seeing it. Amen. I'm caught up with that. And because I was predestinated to be the bride, I become the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't become. You are. Amen. You always was. So it became the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this 144,000, I also caught up. Listen, I also caught up with that. Because the prophet is, they recognize that atonement. And he says, it's not another atonement, it's him when he comes. So they see him, they recognize him, and they go to him. Now they are not, even if they go to him, because it's not right, they don't become the bride. They are not the bride. The prophet says, they are servants. They are caught up with it, but they are servants. So they are here on earth, eating the message and seeing the message, but they cannot become the bride. They are servants. That's where he was told. Measure the temple. This is for this. It's a temple. The temple is the bride coming down. I hope you get. So the rapture of the two witnesses is actually the rapture of 144,000. All right, let's go there. Now, the rapture of the two witnesses. Now, Revelation. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them. Now, if you look at that, that is the same wording. I'm going to come to that. There's a quote down there. This is the same wordings that the prophet used that was told John. And John was in type of the bride. John being told, come up hither. I'm not going to talk to you down there, John. Come up hither. He says, that was the type of the bride being told, come up hither. And it's exactly the same word that I used there by the prophet, by the Bible, telling them, you two witnesses, come up hither. Come up hither. I see you can see that. Now, but let's read it. Now, the third one is the two witnesses of Revelation 11. Why does he say the third one? Why does he say the third one, Adam there? Why he says the third one? Because there were another two. He says there are six. How many was that? There are six raptures. I want to talk like that because of our children, Amber and Adam. Now, Adam, listen. There are six raptures. We have six raptures. All of them are six caught-ups because we don't even have rapture in the world, in the Bible. They are all six caught-ups. Now, what was the first one? Enoch. Enoch was raptured. What was the second one? Elijah. Elijah was caught up. And don't think about frying. Now, the problem is when you think about, in fact, the Bible about Enoch says, and he was not. They don't know even he fried or anything else. But one of the things that you make sure is that body does not go nowhere. That body of flesh that is made by a man and a woman does not go nowhere.
That's right.
It drops. He talks about that body, about Elijah. He's silent on Enoch. But he says, flesh and blood cannot be near. It cannot go nowhere. So we know it doesn't go. It goes somewhere. They say, and Enoch was not. Praise be God. And the third one was of Jesus Christ. And he says, about Jesus Christ was in between. The third one in the Old Testament was in between. Because he died, rose up again, and rose. Praise be to God. And I'm not going to talk about the body of Jesus Christ. That didn't go. That was not born by a man and a woman. That was a special body. That was a special body. So you don't say that didn't go. You don't say that. Praise be to God. All right. Now, the first one of the New Testament was there were people when they died, they went to a place called paradise. Paradise was kind of a place that is divided. You know, it was like this. Now paradise was like this. This is where good people went. This is where bad people went. Now the devil had power that time, because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was not shed. He could go there and get you, even if you're a good person. I think you know that. Yeah, they were in paradise. Now, he cannot do that now. He cannot do that now. He cannot go to the sixth dimension. But he used to do that. He could do that. He went in the times, do you know, have you ever read the story? You read that story. It's called the story of the witch of Edo. The witch of Edo called. That was a demon. And he called Samuel, and Samuel came. And Samuel came, what? Did you say something? And Samuel came kind of complaining. Why did you bring me up from where I was resting? He kind of complained with that. Why did you do that? Like that. Amen. Praise God. But he called him. But now that was changed. These bad guys, when he went there, the prophet says, he went right there. And he went to hell. Jesus Christ, when he died, he went to hell. And the Bible said, I will not leave my beloved soul, the soul of my beloved one, in hell. Amen. Praise be to God. And when he was coming, he came. He went to hell, and then he came over here and got those people that were good people, those people in the Old Testament. And he came back, he came with them, and they were seen here on earth walking for 40 days, and they were taken up, they say, in his presence. But that was in the sixth dimension. They were taken in the sixth dimension. Let me tell you something else. Abba, we were talking about that on Sunday, and I wrote that paper for you. Listen, there are no any other place. And I talked about that in the group one time, and they tried to talk. But you look at the message, sometimes I think I've looked, and then I go there and find something else. You look at the message, there's nowhere else. Listen, there's nowhere else. There are people, I'm talking about people, men and women. There's nowhere else except here in the first dimension, fifth dimension, and the sixth dimension. People, I'm talking about people. Nowhere else. Just look at the message. There's nowhere else. Here, we are here. The second place where there are people is the fifth dimension. The third place where there are people, men and men, is in the sixth dimension. And those people, the fifth dimension, there are people there have bodies. And I don't know what kind of bodies. I've never seen from the prophet what the kind of bodies. But they have bodies. He says, they are bodies. In the sixth dimension, he says, theophany. Word body. They have word body. That's exactly what he says. We don't have any place where the people. Okay. Now, let me finish with this. Now, that's why he says, okay. Now, the second, that was the first. Now, the second one, the second rapture, is the rapture of Thessalonians 4. That's we. When he comes, you are taken to him. And by the way, people think that the rapture and then we go. No, listen, very carefully here. That is the perfection for the bride. That's why if we can only realize what has happened, if we can only dawn on us what has happened, brothers and sisters, there's nothing else can be done to you except the dropping of this body. Nothing else. You've come to your perfection. That's right. And from here henceforth, he will never leave you, and you never leave him. You always be together. Wherever he goes, you go. You talk about going to the judgment to judge the world and taking people to hell. You'll be with him doing that. Praise be to God. You've gone there. You are with him and you live with him forever. That's the best for the bride. Praise be to God. That's what has happened to the bride. Now, the lad is put as a lad. And everything is put as a lad. But look at this, and look, come with the scripture very well. They happen just together. Now, the rapture of the 144 is the lad rapture. Those are not taken as a bride. They're not a bride. There's another class of people. It's another class of people. They are called the servants. But they are saved 144,000. 12 from each tribe. And there are also 24 elders that are with us at the between the cherubims. At the throne there, there are 24 elders. And all those are Jews. You know that. All those are Jews. Because there are 12 children of Jacob, that is Judah, Reuben, after Benjamin. 12 of them over there. And then and 24 disciples plus Paul. Paul plus 11 of them. I've been saying, I caught myself saying 12 disciples plus 4. It's not 12 disciples plus 4. It's 11 disciples plus 4. So to make them 11. So all of them is 24 elders. Those are 24 elders. All right. Okay, now. All right, now. Let me come here. Now, the third one is the two witnesses of Revelation 11. 11 and 12. Which these are the ones that stands back with the Spirit of Christ to witness to the Jews, like Joseph did to his brethren. And remember, their dead bodies laid in the street for 3 days and a half. Then the Spirit of life came to them, and they were raptured, taken up into heaven. There is your three raptures of the New Testament. So the prophecy is, they were raptured. Okay? All right. Three raptures of the Old Testament, all of them passed. It says, all of them passed. Okay. I hope he's going to include this. But people think that I'm sneaky when I include that there, when I include this on the vows, because they don't believe that we are raptured. But they think I'm sneaky, so I don't use it very much, this one. Because I see the raptures of the Old Testament, all of them passed. They're all passed. All of them are passed. Okay. There's your three raptures of the New Testament, the three raptures of the Old Testament, all of them passed. All right. Now. This is to show how they were raptured. I'm just going to just read very fast. Revelation 4:1. After the church was gone then, a door was opened, and we have went through all that and found that that was Christ, was the door. And the same voice was that was walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, also was the same voice he heard in heaven saying, "Come up hither." John went up. It represented the church going into the rapture. John went up in the spirit, was took away into heaven, and foresaw all these things that God has promised. And he says, it is in type. Another quote, he says, in type. But that what I wanted, come up hither. John being told, come up hither, was actually John being raptured, was representing the rapture of the bride. I hope you can see that. But now, if you read up there, where, I don't know whether I put that scripture here. If you read up here, where we started, the first scripture, it says, come up hither. The two witnesses have called, come up hither. Do you see the scriptures are together like that? The way the bride is told, the way the two witnesses are told. It's the rapture. Both are the same. Both are the same. But something happened like this. And I said, I'm not going to use that again about the two heating of the rock three times, because I see it very clearly. It's three times. It was hit like that, just together, just the same. The first one was hit, then it stayed for a long time, and the other one hits it. Now, when it comes to be hit the second time, it's hit twice. See that? And that's why I say this, the rapture, the killing, the everything, is just so much together. There's so much together. The killing and the 144,000, it's just so much together until it's sometimes confusing. But now you can see, the same words I used. That's why I put that quote there, the same words I used. Now, after that, now, let me read my comments there just very quickly. In Revelation 11 and 12, the same words I used about the two witnesses as used to the bride when she is called to the rapture. Come up hither. He says, come up hither. Come hither, or something like that. Now, I want to read a quote now. After the rapture has happened, the rapture of the bride has happened, the rapture of the two witnesses has happened, now we're here. Now I'm going to read quotes now showing that we are here, both of us. Okay? Now, 97, I've cut that short. It's paragraph 97 of the book called The Attraction in the Mountain. What is the attraction in the mountain? I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he's going to read some scriptures there, and he's going to see those scriptures, he's going to see like this. Let's start from paragraph 98. Oh God, it shall be right about the evening time. I think you can see that. Same prophet, and the people is bride. What is attraction? Let's read. By the way, you know what the book, what is the attraction in the mountain was? What is this attraction? That's attracting people to go to the mountain here in Jerusalem. The prince riding on a donkey. You see that? What is the attraction? What is this attraction that is attracting people to this man called William Marion Brown in Javonsonville? Praise be to God. Why? Because he's here, and there's some people who recognize that. The prophet in this book says, you can look around, and they are, I didn't understand that until I come to the U.S. And there are number plates, you call them tags here, number plates, car number plates, that's from Ohio. If it's Kenya, it's Kenya. In Kenya, is number plate for Kenya, for Uganda, for that. Here is every state. You can see from Florida, from Ohio, from California, all are here. What is the attraction? Have you seen that quote in the book called What is the Attraction in the Mountain? In that book, he says, they are all here. All those tags are here. In other words, people from different places are all here. What is the attraction? What is the attraction? He's comparing that attraction to that attraction there. What is it? That was God here on a human flesh. This is God here, back here on a human flesh. Exactly. It goes together very well. That's what he says. Now, in that time when the attraction is happening, he says like this. Oh God, it shall be right about the evening time. Same prophet, that is Isaiah. Same prophet, and the people is blind. What is attraction? Let's read a couple more verses. Now, this is the verse that I want to read. It says, and shall be. And that told me, here's another quote. And I've not gotten it from him because I've not found it. And I would like him to help me with it. If Dad is going to listen to this, please, if you remember it, maybe you've forgotten. I want to it's just studying. Dad, if you're listening, is just studying. It's no challenge. It's just studying. I like studying. And I told you, I've never seen another one, but I've seen this one. And he said, there's another one. I would like to add to this one. Because this is very good to me. This is very good. Brother, this is very good to me. When I see this, it really strengthens me in this. When you see this opening like that, you just see, this is it, Lord. And I'm so happy. There's nothing sweet. These things are so sweet when you see them. When you see them opening like that, it's just so sweet. It takes your life. It takes the whole of your life, brothers. So if somebody has something more, I like it. Some prophet and the people are bride. Let's read a couple more verses. It shall be in that day that the living waters, I don't know what this is. In fact, if he didn't mention this, I could not have associated with this. Look at this. And it shall be in that day, that's Isaiah now talking the scripture. The living waters shall go forth from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, and half towards the higher sea. I don't know what that is. Until he said it, I could not. I don't know how they are connected, but that's exactly see. He says what that means. See, in the summer and winter shall it be. He says that means into brackets. That means the gospel going forth, both Jew and Gentile. When this is not Pentecost. This is the seventh seal. This is the seventh seal. Attraction of the Mountain is 1965. Okay. Because, like that. Yeah. The fourth mystery. Okay. Now, that's another book. So, here now, let me see this. in short. I'm just about to finish. I'm just going to lead some few lines and finish. Now, here we have some people in the lad pool, that are the bride. But there are some other people from Israel that have recognized that. This that had taken the bride, Joseph with Asenath, we can see they are with Asenath, but we have recognized he's our brother. That we refused. And the prophets, and the Bible, and the prophets, they will cry. How do they cry? I don't know. Are they crying? I don't know. Have I seen them crying? I don't know. I've not seen them. Praise be to God. But the prophet in Anakudi says, he knows them. He knows them. He knows each one of them. He says that even those tribes, did you know that those tribes are mixed now? So bad. You cannot even tell which one is Reuben. You cannot now tell them. They know they're Israel. Maybe some of them can tell them. Like one of them who is talking about Hamas and how they're fighting. He can explain in a bit and you can hear something. But very many people, they cannot tell where they belong. Where they belong to this. But the promise is God knows each one and where they come from. From Reuben, from that. God knows them. So God knows them. That they are going to cry for. Are they going to cry for Jesus Christ who is going to come and they see those nails? No. They're going to cry when they see even how this is hated by so many people and how they did it. And there are people now who they were brided. That's why they did it. But there are some people here who are not brided and they're still piercing him. The prophet says he's indicted them for piercing him again like they did there. They'll see that he's pierced. And they pierced him. Just like he's being pierced, they are piercing him. And they'll cry to him, and they'll accept him. What? The third pool. The third pool is the atonement. The third pool is his coming. When he comes, they will recognize him. Let's read the next verse. The fourth mystery is the mystery of the church as one body composed of Jews and Gentiles. One church body composed of Jews and Gentiles. He gives some scriptures there. Let me read the last one. Now, in the Feast of the Trumpets. Paragraph 253. Notice, they will know their Messiah when they see him. They will know him. When he comes the second time, they will know him. See, he's coming in power this time. The one they look for. He's coming in power for the Gentile bride. He's coming in power for the Gentile bride, okay? That is Joseph and Asenath, okay? Now, and the Jews are going to recognize. Let me reach there, brothers. Amen. But the quotes are there. Look at them. Let's pray. Father, I would like to thank you. I would like to say before my brothers that this has been good for me. Maybe they can think, Lord God, that I brought it to them. But Lord, it was also to me. Father, you've opened yourself so much to me, Lord. And I believe you've done the same to all of us, Lord, because it's you doing it. It's not an individual like me or like somebody else. It's you doing it. It's you opening yourself to us. Thank you for that, Lord. And we pray, Father, take us deeper. Take us higher. Lord, lift up our faith, Lord, that you can trust in you more. That we can recognize what you're doing in the time that we are living, Lord. We bring our shortcomings, Father. Remember that time when the prophet was talking to the people and he was saying, Lord, that he realizes that he's come to the end of the year and he has done things that maybe he would not have liked to do. And he was calling upon your name and placing all that at your laps, Lord, that you take them to the sea of forgetfulness. So we stand, Lord, that you take all our mistakes, Lord, our shortcomings, Lord, and Lord, we pray that you let us stand before you as pure and virtuous children to you, Lord, that when we call, Lord, you be near to hear us, Lord. In all things, we give glory and honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. It's a bit late, so it's over, and may God bless you, and you're dismissed. Thank you.
Great.